want you.
I thought I said it.
Okay, mute. You'd be good. Okay, welcome to the City Standpoint Council meeting of May 13th, 2025. We'll call this meeting to order, 7:01 p.m. Get a roll call, please, Jade.
Mayor Smith?
Here.
Austin Roof?
Here.
Amy Gunderson?
Here.
Amy Eubanks?
Here.
Jack Foster Jr.?
Yes.
Tracy Gunderson?
Here.
And Billy Diskin Jr.?
Excused.
Yeah, I got a text.
Or?
Oh. Phone call.
Okay, we have a quorum. All right, first order of business is the approval of agenda. At this time, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Seeing none. Are there any conflicts of interest? Hearing none. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the May 13th, 2025 agenda.
Adopt the May 13th, 2025 agenda as written.
Motion by Austin. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Janie. Roll call, please. Jay?
Marisa?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Amy?
Amy, yes.
Amy?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay, we'll go on to the next item of business, would be public comment. Do we have public, any public comment on agenda item?
Can the closed kids make their comments right now on this agenda item?
Sounds good. Yeah.
Oh, I was thought we were on non-agenda.
You're not. Oh. Yeah. So, and the we'll
not on the agenda.
We'll call it a report. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We just got back from our closing trip and wanted to share some thoughts about our experience. We got to Washington D.C. Friday evening. We were talking for today. Metro, the Mar Hotel, and you can see where we went, the Natural History Museum, and the Holocaust Museum. We walked around the National Mall. Once the program started, the city knew that they welcomed tourists. On Monday, session day, we were in our workshop room. My closer sister, we put down the Gold Cable Memorial, Lincoln Memorial, and Wednesday, we passed the Hill Bay Standpoint. Thursday we got a view of the White House and later went to Arlington Cemetery and watched the guard. Friday and Saturday we took a bus to New York City. And the two highlights include the Boston Museum of Art, a Broadway musical group, and the Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island. We also got to walk around Times Square. Also was a unique and interesting experience that I'm grateful to have had on both of. I saw and learned a lot of new things about the U.S. A few of my favorites from the trip include Lincoln Memorial, the Gold, the Guard of the Unknown Soldier of Arlington Cemetery, and the Smithsonian Museum. I also made some new friends, bonded with my classmates, and was thank you for providing support for our trip.
All right. Thank you. That was a lot of stuff. Any other comments?
That's a worthwhile
session. Yeah.
Yes, we do really.
There's a lot of stuff I saw.
Thanks for the picture.
Okay. We'll be moving on. The next item of business would be the consent agenda. There's one item on the consent agenda, the minutes of the regular meeting of April 8th, 2025. Everyone has had a chance to read over the minutes. Are there any corrections? Hearing none. So do we have a motion to minute April 8th, 2025?
I'll move to adopt the agenda.
Motion by Jack. Is there a second?
Second.
Marisa? Great. Roll call, please, Jed.
Amy Eubanks?
Yes.
Jack?
Yep.
Austin?
Yes.
Janie?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay, we'll move on to reports, and the first report is with Public Works Director Julius Carlson.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. So in April, we created roads, funded, and plowed roads, swept roads, moved city buildings, built some potholes, replaced hydraulic hose on our trash truck and our bobcat excavator, all been sprinkled off. And decommissioned our old wood chipper, we ordered a new one. Ordered parts for our police car. Shopping all this around town, changed things on our grader. Air dryer, our sand truck, back down to the shed. We received our new 30 ton trailer on Coastal. Changed the flat have air connections on our dump truck, so we can tow the trailer. And I got a new sign painted for our landfill. Not enough fence. The plants our new landfill permits.
All right. Thank you, Julius. Any questions or comments for Julius?
Julius. I was at the dump, and John's doing a great job. But when I was there, it looked like the burn box. I know we had it a little while now, but it looks like it's seen some wear and tear, and not from any fault of our own. Because do you think it's up for the job here? Do you think we're How long do you think it lasts?
That's good. Thanks, Austin. Any other comments?
I have a comment. Julius, I just wanted to thank you for all your help on the landfill permit.
That was what it did.
And you, I really appreciated your help. I was so busy. You were able to work with DEC and updated the plan. You did a good job, and I wanted to thank you publicly for that.
All right, thank you, Debbie. Okay. There's no further questions. Julius, we'll move on to the next report. It's with Water and Sewer Supervisor Dylan Jacobson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last month, we worked with other utilities to do small updates for us. We're digging extensive spots around town. It's the lead over by the little restaurant on Church. One up in Portman Court. Closed the valve there so we could access it. We got a new piece of equipment in called the Crust Buster for items that we really needed. It's been helping us at both sewer plant facilities, both running a lot better than they were beforehand. So it's been really great having that. Did a lot of work with that last month. Everything is going good. All right.
Thank you, Dylan. All right. Any questions or comments for Dylan? Austin?
What does the Crest Buster do? Oh, it's about like an 8 foot rod, and you put it in the grease, and it's got steel blades on it, and it just breaks everything up. Works great.
Okay.
So it saves a lot of work for having to just break up the grease. That's awesome.
Thanks, Austin. Okay, if there's no other questions for Dylan, we'll go to the report with Harbor Master Alan Kuchinoff.
Thanks, Jim. On the April, we bought and launched the boat. That guy repaired an oil pan on Little Lift. Took him some boats around the yard for making room for some of the bigger boats. We turned the water on and opened the restroom. That's all I got for.
All right, thank you, Alan. Any questions or comments for Alan?
I have a quick question. Are the billets out there on that far?
Thanks, Debbie. Questions? Hearing nothing. We'll move on to the next item is Department of Public Safety with Police Chief Ben Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ladies and gentlemen of the council, for the month of April, we had one person arrested and lodged in the city jail. Two cases we forwarded charges to the DA's office for prosecution. 18 calls for service. 18 calls to 911, two of them being hangups, one 911 pocket dial, 9 calls for med on call, 1 trespassing. And then the reports taken, we had 1 suspicious circumstances, 1 trespassing, 1 911 hangup, 1 abandoned vehicle, 2 intoxicated persons, 1 ready report, 3 welfare checks, 3 non-criminal domestic disturbances, 2 thefts, 1 being a bicycle and the other being tires from the city shop that were later returned, 1 civil, 1 assistance to medical, 1 harassment, 1 DUI alcohol, 2 violations of conditions of release, 2 noise complaints, 1, my earbud just fell out, 1 agency assist with APD homicide, identifying a victim, 1 death notification, 2 animal complaints, 63 bar checks, 14 courtesy transports, 467 business checks, 7 residence checks, 962 total citizen contacts, 2 driver knowledge tests administered, 798 miles patrolled. I will be back tomorrow, God willing, Aleutian flies. And I just completed the taser instructor course in Soldotna, and Captain Lowry just completed a postal inspector course in Dallas.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Any questions or comments for Ben at this time? All right, seeing none. Thank you, Ben.
All right, thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the next report. We've got EMS Director Alan Aldred.
Evening. Not much to report this month. Got 2 medevac transports. 0911 medical emergencies, assessed AEDs in the city building and the harbor house, weekly ambulance
Audit
auditor every year asks for that. So we'll update that this year. I worked with Silver Bay and the mayor to clear up the fire problems with raw fish tax. I believe we are on track to have a better summer, a summer where they have our tax information, and we hope that they will be tracking, or we'll keep an eye on that this year to make sure that we're getting our raw fish tax from Silver Bay. APIA has written a grant for VPSOs. They included two for the city of Sandpoint. They're not too sure. They didn't sound as positive as they did a couple of years ago when I brought this up about funding, because of, we all know, funding kind of tight right now. They're hoping that we'll be able to get at least one VPSO for our community. Met with the Aleutian Youth Borough and all of the city administrators included in the Aleutian Youth Borough in conversations about a potential emergency fund, which I don't think that's going to be going anywhere this year. Maybe if funds get better, it will take another look at it. We're also talking about doing some kind of economic study of our region so that we can work together and hopefully have plans in place should we have another occurrence like what happened in King Cove and Peter Pan. The FY24 budget, as Shar just mentioned, has begun. I noticed a flurry of emails going back and forth. I plan to work on some of the things that I need to provide for that this week, and it's so far on schedule. The FY22-25, or the strategic plan that we did last year, is complete, and I will get a final reporting on that to you. I think as we looked at it the last time, pretty much was all complete. The only thing that we really need to do, and I think Dave probably already has it mostly done, is a packet for onboarding new employees. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Debbie. Any questions or comments for Debbie at this time?
I hear that on EPSO.
That'll be really helpful for EMT and fire.
You're usually well experienced. You're used to working in environments like this. Thanks,
Alan.
Hi, this is Amy. Hey, Debbie, thanks for pursuing that with the... I can't remember the name of the seafood company, but did they talk about giving us any money for the fishing that they did last summer and stuff in our area? Any of the tax on that?
Yes.
Silver Bay?
Yes, that's what we were going back talking about, and we did come to a settlement with that.
Okay, great. Thank you. I've heard bits and pieces, so I'm sorry I was kind of putting that together.
All right. Thanks, Amy. All right. Any further questions for Debbie? Thank you, Debbie. Hearing none, we'll move on. Okay. That concludes our report. So we'll go on to hearings, ordinances, and resolutions, and the first is Ordinance 2025-01, an ordinance of the City of Sandpoint, Alaska, adopting the operating budget for fiscal year 2026. With that, I will hand the floor to Debbie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Council. I'm honored to present you again with another fiscal year budget. This is for 2026. We discussed this earlier, and we are very aware of lack of funds, and we scheduled a workshop to take a deeper dive into our finances, and I look forward to that. This budget is for FY26, as I mentioned, which is start July 1st of this year, and it will end June 30th of 2026. We must have this budget passed, the FY26 budget by state law needs to be passed by July 1st, 2026. I had that wrong as well. We do have currently in this reading, we show a deficit of $364,842, which I believe we will be looking at more closely in the next couple weeks. I don't want to bore you with all the stuff that we read every year, but monthly utility, mortgage, and travel lift fees generate the bulk of our revenue in enterprise funds, and the primary sources are sales tax, lawfish, and clean rentals, and expenses are, as you know, from all of our departments. For all of our departments, municipal assistance general fund, which covers the administration, audit, liability insurance, public safety, parks and recreation, public works, and facilities maintenance. What happened?
Okay, I'm going to apologize. I didn't quite read that right. I didn't know we've got a comment. At this time, do we have a motion to put ordinance 2025-01, ordinance of City Sandpoint, Alaska, adopting the operating budget of the fiscal year 2026 on the floor for its first reading.
I'll make a motion for ordinance 2025-01 on the floor for first reading and later time.
Thank you. We have a motion by Marita. There was second by Austin. Okay. Done that first. Then we have Debbie's comments. So at this time, questions or comments for Debbie? Hearing none. Ask for a roll call.
Jamie Gunderson?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay, move on to the next item. Old business, and seeing there is none, we'll go on to new business. And the first item is the ratification of the phone call for Eastern Aleutian Tribe Clinic lease with revision number 2. With that, I'll hand the floor to Debbie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a follows a email that I had sent to you while our city clerk was in out for health reasons, and I sent you an email to let you know that the Eastern Aleutian Tribe pushed back on the already signed clinic lease that we had done a couple meetings ago. Federal government, after they got it to the federal government, didn't want some of the wording in there, so we had to remove that wording. It was minor. It doesn't affect the lease at all. And so this was a follow-up after Jade got back. She phone called and did a phone poll for you, and these are the results, and I believe we
okay. So at this time, do we have a motion to adopt a new lease?
Ratify the phone poll.
Ratify the phone poll for the lease.
I'll make a motion to ratify the phone poll of the Times Clinic lease. Vision 2.
A motion by Janie. Do we have a second? Second by Jack. No further discussion. Roll call, Steve Chase.
Marisa?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Amy Eubanks?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay, we'll go on to the Next item of new business is a donation request at KSDP Radio. The amount of $6,000. And I'll hand the floor.
I mean, I can say something. I'd like council member Austin, you wear a couple of hats here. Would you like to give a little bit of background?
Yeah, Mr. Corbett comes in. Off code of last month, the increase in the rent put in course to everyone else in city council. We're encouraged to come for a donation request, so this would make it pretty equal in percentage what we're making for, and it comes out of the gaming class plus the general fund, making it more sustainable and coming from an automatic easier to access for the city. So we appreciate the opportunity to still receive support from the city for the services we provide. You know, beyond just normal music and news, KSDP has held many events from a participating standpoint and has put a big focus on community events, also supporting regional news, local news, sports, our students. So just really appreciate the opportunity we have to serve the community and continue doing so.
Thanks, Austin.
Yeah, and I'd like to note, I actually came in and spoke with the mayor and the administrator this day. There's other things. We have a backup generator here at the city building. We have that tied into public safety. We've done that as a public service. Have to itemize everything, but you know, I was hoping to have double calls since here. Didn't care. You know, these are interns with us. We also do have plans, hopefully, to bring in the Alaska Tribal Spectrum and work with them to bring a different mobile provider into town. And that's our next step. I was going to actually ask Mr. Foster, Jeff. If you would think about in the leasing that the city does, maybe breaking out instead of having to come up and make a request for nonprofits or intergovernmental services that the city provides space for, have a lease bracket or a lease section that for nonprofits or intergovernmental entities that they would have a different rate. And they're already tax free, but you know, instead of having to come up and dance. And I will say the borough has given us good support. They chose to do a long item, and in the last borough meeting, they reaffirmed that they're open for that. There is no state funding for public broadcasting anymore. That's long gone. And even local business support is dwindling to a certain degree. We are having a membership drive here soon, right before salmon season. Hopefully we'll have a good one, and hope you all join. And we also just ordered a beans. So hopefully we can have chopped beans.
All right, thank you. Aside from your name is not coming to me today. I saw you earlier, Virgil, sorry, and I'm still looking at you. I can't get it. I got it now. Maybe once again.
Hi, this is Amy. Mr. Mayor, can I make a comment?
Yeah,
this is Amy. I appreciate everything but right now with our budget cuts and with the money, I think right now we should put any donation requests at this time off the table until we get our budget and see what's going on. I know it does come out of the bingo fund, but we can do other things with the bingo fund. And right now with the crunch that we're having, I know everybody's having it. I don't feel that this is a time to ask for a donation. And I would prefer that we kind of didn't have any donation, put them off until we kind of can see where we're at financially.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Any other comments at this time?
I'll make the motion to donate $6,000, assuming that we do have the funds that we need out from our bingo fund. And I'd like to make a note that it will be for the fiscal year 2026, so we're not double donating for this year. They come back to us.
there were no further comments, we have a motion by Marita.
I will second.
I have a second by Janie to accept donation amount for $6,000. But if there's no further comments, no further comments, then we will go to roll call.
Jack?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Janie?
Yes.
Annie Eubank?
No.
Austin?
Yes. All right. Motion carries. All right. Thank you, everybody. So I believe that concludes our business. So we move on to comment section. At this time, are there any public comments? Chase?
Clean up again with the community cleanup week starts this Friday, picking up bags and gloves and getting entered into prizes. Ending with a lunch, community lunch at the school, May 23rd. At noon for the lunch and party drawing, so I'm getting bags, so I'll open up the town.
Right, thank you, Jade. Any other public comment? Hearing none, we'll go on to council comments. Any council comments at this time, Austin?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to the fire department, Jason, and everyone that continuously shows up on the volunteer team. I've never seen so many fires in our town before. They consistently showed up and appeared to do a good job. And unfortunately, there's not been any disasters, so they're keeping everything in check as best they can. And finding a couple fires, I know it's dangerous and not fun, so I just really appreciate all the work they're doing.
Thank you, Austin. Any other council comment? All right, being none. Okay, the next, before we adjourn to the next meeting, I think we're planning on workshop budget on 8/27. Yep. 6 p.m. 6 p.m., okay. And then our next city council meeting will be on June 2nd, 7 p.m. Another workshop at 2. Okay, if there's nothing else, we'll go on to adjournment.
We have a question. Oh, you repeat that time again? I've got the 26th at 6. So something changed since this afternoon, I guess.
No, 27. 26 is more of a day.
Yeah, something else. You say 27 at 2 p.m.?
Yeah.
6 p.m. Again, who said 2 p.m.? 6
p.m. You're going, all right, this time.
Well, you got it wrong. I keep reading the phone. Okay, and then our June meeting will be on the 2nd. Okay, moving on to adjournment. That was wrong. We have a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a
motion by Marita.
I'll second.
Second by Janie. And we are adjourned at 7:39.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Jay. You like seeing your house. Getting set up with that time out.
All right. Well, that has been your Sandpoint City Council. The archive of the audio will be riding with the post at apradio.org. Give me a few minutes. Probably be up there in an hour. In the meantime, we will go back to our regularly scheduled programming. A little bit of Terry Gross and Fresh Air. Thank you for tuning in.
KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
This message comes from Capella University. At Capella, you can earn your degree with support from people who care about your success. A different future is closer than you think with Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.
A quick note before we start today's show. You may have heard that President Trump has issued an executive order seeking to block all federal funding to NPR. This is one in a series of threats to media organizations across the country. The executive order is an affront to the First Amendment rights of public media organizations. NPR remains committed to serving the public, covering news and popular culture without a paywall. This is a pivotal moment. It's more important than ever that everyone who can contribute comes together to pitch in as much as they are able. Please visit donate.npr.org to give now. And if you already support us via NPR Plus or other means, thank you. Your support means so much to us, now more than ever. You help make NPR shows freely available to everyone. We're proud to do this work for you and with you. Okay, let's start the show. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Rami Youssef, started as a stand-up comic. Then he created and starred in the semi-autobiographical comedy-drama series called Rami, about a 20-something Egyptian-American Muslim trying to make sense of how his life, including his sex life, fit with his commitment to Islam. The series won a Peabody Award, and he won a Golden Globe for his performance. Youssef co-created the comedy-drama series Mo, starring his friend Mo Ammer as an undocumented Palestinian-American. Last year, Youssef hosted Saturday Night Live and had an HBO comedy special called More Feelings. His acting career is taking off. He stars with Steve Carell and Jason Schwartzman in the new HBO movie Mountainhead, which debuts May 31st. It was written and directed by Jesse Armstrong, the creator of HBO's Succession. In 2023, Youssef co-starred in the film Poor Things, which won a Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy, and was nominated for an Oscar for Best Picture. Rami Youssef has a new animated series set just before and after 9/11. It's about an extended family of Egyptian Americans in New Jersey. The parents and grandparents are immigrants. The children were born in America. Each of them is trying to figure out how to respond to the Islamophobia that's resulted from the terrorist attack on 9/11. Rami Youssef was 11 years old and in fifth grade on 9/11. That's about the same age as the boy in the series. The series is called Number One Happy Family USA, and that's streaming on Amazon Prime. In the father's attempt to prevent people from noticing they're an immigrant family and Muslim, he does his best to blend in by doing his best to construct the image of a happy, average American family. But because he doesn't quite understand American culture, just about everything he does to fit in is wrong, which only makes him stand out even more. The mother wants to stand up and defend Islam. This is a scene from the first episode, which takes place on 9/11, when the father and mother clash over how to respond. Rami Youssef does the voices of the father and the son. Salma Hindi voices the mother.
Bussa Rumi, a lot happened today. Many people got hurt. This is the worst thing I have ever seen. Things are going to change for us. People are going to look at us differently just because of who we are. And what we must do now, more than ever, is...
find our face and be strong.
No, we must blend in and change our values as much as possible. We will change everything about who we are to fit in. We must always be cheerful. We will never stick out. We, from today, have no culture. When people see our family, they won't think Arab. They will think they are happy. They are perfect. We are Number One Happy Family USA!
Rami Youssef, welcome to Fresh Air. It's such a pleasure to have you back on the show. That scene is so funny. I love it when the father says, from now on, we have no culture.
It's really great to be back after many years. I really appreciate it. And yeah, it was this idea of really tapping into how, it's almost kind of, it is really funny, and it's so cool that it gets to be funny, but it's obviously there's the other part of it that's really sad, which is, hey, maybe if I try to erase as much of myself, I'll be able to fit in. And I think that's the idea that I'm obsessed with. You know, there's obviously all the conversations about overt racism, Islamophobia, all these things on the outside. The parts that I always tend to hone in on is, well, what is the person doing to themselves amidst all that pressure?
What were the discussions like in your family living in New Jersey after 9/11? Were there conversations in your family about whether to stand up and defend diversity and defend Islam, or whether to just, like you said, erase part of themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it was exactly hit the erase button, but it really was, okay, you know, because it's such a sad, terrible thing, and we're just near, you know, the site of death of so many people who, you know, innocent people. So there's that piece where you're just as sad as everyone else, but then it turns towards you and who you are. And so you kind of go, okay, we should be quiet or something. It's incredibly confusing. It's incredibly disorienting. And I think within my family, we were always proud of who we were and where we come from. And at the same time, you kind of don't want to rock the boat. And I think my father was very pragmatic about it all. And I remember him kind of being like, you know, my family is really well read. They really, you know, I grew up with books all over the house. And my dad was just like, yeah, Japanese people went through a lot after Pearl Harbor happened. He was already kind of saying there was this feeling of this might be our turn right now. And you know, that was at the time. And then now it's kind of like, so when does the turn end exactly? what's yeah. going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you code switch a lot when you were 11? After 9/11, like the cartoon version of the son does? Part of the code switching is not just the way he talks, it's also like what he wears to try to look like all American.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in New Jersey, and it was, there was this like burgeoning emo rock scene, and I was so jealous of my friends who had the straight hair and wore the tight pants, and I had this curly fro, and I tried to hide it with a hat. I was always wearing hats, and you know, even in my older age, it's like such a holdover from being a kid and trying to just stuff it under a hat. But you know, the beauty of this series for me has been that I think everyone code switches, you know, and I think we leaned into this animated style where the family literally looks different when they're inside the house and when they're outside the house. And I think to an extent, everybody does that, you know, and what becomes, you know, the larger pressure cooker is that there is this performance that this family is literally doing for the FBI agent who moves in across the street. But at that core, underneath all of it, I think this is what everybody does, and I think it's certainly what kids do. And so in so many ways, it really feels like this quintessential just middle school experience, but you add on to it, you know, the creation of Homeland Security.
Right. A good reason to be paranoid. Like, you have every reason to feel like you're sticking out, you're not fitting in, and maybe that means prison.
It's very much, okay, is Courtney the popular girl talking about me behind my back, and are the phones tapped?
Yeah.
You know, and usually people just have to deal with the Courtney part. And now this kid has both of them, and that's where the series lives.
You do the voice of both the father and the son, and their voices are very different. Do you want to demonstrate both voices for us?
Well, you know what it was? It was my sister, Reem. She was a producer on the animated show with me, and she had pulled up all these videos when I was a kid because I was struggling really finding these voices. I've never done this kind of acting before. And when I was a kid, I used to make these videos, and I'd do them sometimes when my parents were sleeping. And so I'd kind of like whisper, and I'd kind of be raspy, you know, and I'd be in that place. And so I just copied what I actually sounded like as a kid there. And then I was trying to find the complete opposite and go really deep into my stomach and find the anxiety and find it in the bottom of the throat, you know, and then that became the dad.
The father, in some ways, is kind of like Homer Simpson, you know, in kind of like being like getting everything wrong, misconstruing things. I you know, if I remember correctly, he hangs up like to fit in and look so American, he hangs up like Christmas ornaments in the summer, and he keeps using the word like Jesus Christ totally inappropriately.
Yes. You know?
But anyways, do you see a connection between him and Homer Simpson?
Totally. I mean, I think there's this father who, you know, I think in both cases, being the head of a household in the ways that they think they are and the ways that they totally aren't, and they end up banging their head every direction that they move. The father in this show, Hussein is his name, his anxiety takes him over in this way that is almost vulnerable. And it's certainly very vulnerable because he does these musical numbers throughout the show that kind of tap into what's really going on with him. And he kind of became the star of the show, where I went, oh yeah, wow. I mean, he's the one that is most split by this and is probably furthest into this idea of a code switch kind of splitting you right down the middle.
How did your father feel about the character of the father? Because people always assume, oh, well, that's how the father is in the series, so his real father, you know, Rami Youssef's father must be like that, but your father sounds like the opposite.
My father's really cool. I mean, I think part of my mother's is so cool. I mean, I'm really lucky. I mean, I feel part of why I've been able to explore these feelings in my work artistically is that they gave us the space as parents to, you know, understand our feelings. And so it's not like these elements didn't exist in our communities and in our families. And so this kind of constant fear and paranoia is actually not exaggerated. I would just say that my family saw it. Even if they were experiencing it, they were actually able to see, well, maybe we should turn the volume down. And then I think the fun thing with making something, especially a cartoon, is you never have to turn the volume down because it's a cartoon. And so I think that my parents, when they watch my work, I kind of painstakingly go through making sure that a lot of details are different enough. And we also write these, you know, shows in writers' rooms where we're drawing from other writers and their families and kind of what they went through. So I think my parents, they're pretty good about kind of going, eh, who cares? You know, and especially at this point, too, my dad's really funny about this stuff. He just is like, eh, I'm 7 years old. Like, who cares?
So there's briefly a grandfather in the series, and he is very sexist. Like, he is the man, and he has control, especially control over his wife. He's grumpy. He orders people around. And at one point he says, I sacrificed everything for this family. Most men of my generation hit. And he's referring to hitting women. And he says, I only yell. I didn't even take a second wife. So did you have a grandfather who was like that? And if so, how did you deal with it? Like, did you say anything?
My grandparents never lived with us. I mean, this is trying to kind of create something that's more emblematic of that generational thing than my actual grandfather, who was quite different and was also, you know, my grandfather is really interesting because he grew up in a village. He was one of two people who could read. And then he took that and became one of the only ones there again who went to college and then actually became an interpreter. For the United Nations, he interpreted between Arabic and French and English for, you know, over 20 years. So he's kind of this totally different mold, I think, of that gen, because he was such a...
Could I just stop you for a second? That's amazing. He was one of two people in his village who could read and became a UN translator.
It is so much more impressive. Sometimes people will say to me, oh, dude, you were just like a kid in New Jersey, and now you have this whole Hollywood thing, and I go, man, in terms of arcs within my family, that's not really, it's like, yeah, I should have. Of course I have to. Look at what came before me. I mean, he set the bar.
So you write and sing songs for the series. And I want to play one that's, I think you can describe it as the theme song. And it ends the first episode of number one, Happy Family USA. So let's hear it. And then we'll talk about writing songs. So this is in the voice of the father.
Hello, hello, neighbors. You're afraid of us near you. But the only blood we want is to bleed red, white, and blue. I know you think we're scary, but I swear to you we're fun. We will prove to you our love. We will be number one, number one family. In USA, number one happy family, USA.
Please don't shoot. takes a boy.
So what made you think you should turn part of this into a musical?
So yeah, that song comes out of the earlier clip that you played where he kind of proclaims out of peak anxiety to his family that they're going to erase their identity. And then he bursts the door open and starts singing this proclamation to the neighborhood and forces his family to come out and dance with him on the front lawn. And then the song, as you can kind of hear there, ends with the police swarming the house, a helicopter, and then Hussein sacrificing his son to the authorities, you know, hoping that that will appease them. And, you know, I felt this, it's either going to be we're making something depressing or something so insane that you have to laugh at this depressing subtext. And so it had to be the latter. And that's where music just started to feel like such a fun extension.
Have you ever been in a band?
In high school, I was in a band and played backup guitar, backup vocals, and always fiddled around with, you know, guitars. And then I kind of had put the music thing down as I kind of went into comedy and performing and all of that. And then we were doing these voices at a sound studio that had all these instruments. And I probably picked up the guitar for the first time after many, many years and started singing these songs as the dad and had so much fun. And then we ended up baking it into the show.
In your band, did you do covers or originals?
It was originals. And if you go back and listen to the originals, you'd probably encourage us to do covers.
Well, in addition to like the number one Happy Family song that we just heard, you wrote some dark songs. And I want to play a dark song. This is a father singing. One of the lines he sings is, "Sometimes the darkness comes for me." This is his like deep internal feelings, not the facade he's trying to put on. So let's hear that. Do you want to say anything about it before we hear it?
This comes at the end of an episode where we've seen him probably be his most performative. And then he has this moment when everyone's asleep and he goes out into the driveway and sits by his halal cart. He's a halal cart vendor in the city, and it's always parked in the driveway. And I love that image because it sticks out in this suburb that they can barely afford. And he sits at it, starts playing guitar. And at a certain point, there's like a piano line in which he hits the area of the cart where the sodas are stored, and it opens up into a keyboard and there's a piano that comes out of the cart. And so he's singing this thing that sounds sad, but at the same time, visually is I think quite funny.
And it's the kind of thing you can only do in animation.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hear it.
I'm scared, but I'm sitting with my family, got to show them that I'm brave. Sometimes I'm quiet, but I think it's just because I might scream. I've got to be Mr. Tough Guy, I'm the dad. But sometimes, oh, the darkness comes for me, and I don't know what to do. Yeah, the darkness, oh, it comes for you too. And what do you